Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Wow, the Woody Overton Window. This is Mike Agavino here with Woody Overton with episode number 37 for Friday, October 18th. Good morning, Woody.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Well, my Mets got their ass kicked last night, so yeah. I'm not too thrilled about that one, but we got a chance to get back at them tonight.
Well, that's good. I didn't follow it too closely. I did follow the Giants this weekend, though.
I'm done with Daniel Jones. I'm done. I am so freaking done. Our defense played so great in that game. Our defense has played great for a month straight. The rest of the division is falling apart. The Cowboys suck. The Eagles aren't that good. I mean, when Washington is the class of the division,
right?
I mean, it's probably the shittiest division in football this year. I mean, think about those four teams. And really, we could still – I mean, if we had a freaking quarterback, we could still do something. But he is effing useless. But I actually wanted to mention – college football to you because there is some weird stuff going on. But so this week's rankings, you got Texas at one, right? You got Oregon's now two because they pulled that last minute deal on Ohio State. So they're two. Penn State is third. Yep. They win by 2 points against mediocre teams every week, but yet they're third in the country. Yep. Ohio State's fourth, so they don't drop that much with that loss. Georgia's fifth, despite that loss to Bama. Miami, who's played pretty well, is sixth. Bama loses to Vandy and is seventh in the country.
Right.
And the Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, are sitting there at eighth in the country with
That's
one
crazy.
Loss.
Yeah.
Iowa State ninth, but this is the one that really – Clemson, who lost 34-3 to Georgia in that first game of the year, is now ranked 10th.
Yeah.
What a mess.
It is crazy because the Tigers have no running game and, their defense is suspect at best. And I think they got a long finish of the season ahead of them, starting with Arkansas this weekend. But I don't know. We'll see. I guess the playoff system might shake it out. I don't know.
Think there's some effed up things happening with this playoff system. Like, let me give you one that just think about this happening because there's a very good chance this is going to happen. So the American Athletic Conference, it's that conference with Tulane and Memphis and UCF and Temple and Rice. Well, both Army and Navy joined that conference this year.
Army's been kicking ass and Tulane's been kicking ass.
Well, Army's 6-0.
Yeah.
And Navy is 5-0.
Yeah, but if Tulane's been beat, I don't know who beat them because they've been covering every weekend.
Yeah. They've got a loss. I don't know. They got at least one loss. So the way the schedule looks, there's a very good chance that Army plays Navy in the AAC championship game, which would be 1 week before the Army-Navy game.
That's funny.
How screwed up is that?
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah. So
like, what do you do? And let's say that that happens. It plays out that way. Mm-hmm. Do you send out just one team, or do both of them just send out the third string and run like plays that aren't even in their playbook for that championship game because it all comes down to the Army-Navy game? Or do they do the opposite and go for it, win that championship game, and then who cares about the Army-Navy game?
They're going for the championship. So, I mean, I can't tell you in my lifetime if either one of them's ever won it, a championship game. So,
well, because they haven't been in conferences.
Right.
So in 1 year of this madness, first year of this madness, the tradition of the Army-Navy game is destroyed.
Yeah.
Very well could be destroyed.
I get two of them. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. Yeah.
But like the unintended consequences of, you know, these geniuses who just get in a room and figure out, okay, I know we're making $20 billion a year, but can we figure out a way to scratch another billion out of it? Yeah, let's expand to a 12-team thing, and, you know, let's allow these West Coast teams to join the Big Ten and these Midwest teams to join the SEC, and, you know, let's just throw the whole thing up and let's not think too much about weird stuff that can happen.
Yeah, the other thing is they have football every night of the week now. Every night, the college games, like Kentucky Hilltoppers versus nobody in the university from, you know, to the high school. Every night they got games. It's just crazy. So it's all about the money there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one. So this three losses and get in thing to this final 12, it's going to make for some. Well, we've already seen the weird stuff with like this quarterback who was undefeated at Nevada bailing on his team so that he wouldn't lose a year of eligibility with all the NIL money that's sitting in front of him to go to a bigger school. I forget that guy's name, but you know, you look at what I was just talking about with Army Navy and their, and the ridiculousness. I saw something the other day, I forget what the number is, but I think it's the volleyball team from either Stanford or Cal Berkeley is going to travel, because it's not just the football teams that are now part of the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. You have all these West Coast schools that are now part of the Big Ten, which means that not only is your football team playing Big Ten schools, but you know, your women's bowling team is playing Big Ten schools.
All of them playing, yeah. Right.
And so all these super woke California schools that are so concerned about carbon footprints and all this other shit. Okay. Yeah. They're flying like a million miles back and forth to play, to play all these games in the Midwest. And nobody mentions, well, you know, yes, we're, our emissions as a university will be 10X what they were last year. But you know, that's no longer a factor because we only believe in this climate change bullshit when it's a story we want to tell. So I don't know. Right. Crazy. Anyway, Army Navy one could be the championship game of the AAC.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. So
who's LSU playing this weekend?
Arkansas.
That's right. You said Tennessee
had a bye week and they beat Tennessee the week before. So it's going to be interesting.
Ooh, I may have to lay me some down. I'm hurting from the baseball playoffs. So this account is going negative fast, but I can't, other than knowing Texas is going to win every week, I can't really figure out, and that Penn State won't cover. I can't really figure out the rest of college football.
Penn State on half a point last week, half a point on the cover.
They only missed it by half a point.
Half a point, one half a fucking point. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you know what? This year, why can't kickers kick? Like kickers in the NFL.
Hey, Sim said that, you know, watch the games, because she said, I've never seen in one game they missed like four field goals. And she said, I've never seen this many in my life. And I was like, you don't even watch football. And then by the end of the game, I was like, I've never seen this many in my life. They just missed a field goal after field goal.
No, the freaking Giants, you know, the only team in the world that could get both their punter and their field goal kicker injured, but you know, we signed some guy Joseph off of some practice squad somewhere, and I mean, guy misses a 47 and another 40 something. You can't miss 40 yard field goal. You shouldn't miss 40 yard field goals in college, but if you're in the NFL, you don't miss 2 40 something yard field goals in one game.
They'll be saying, "Welcome to Walmart next year."
He's probably getting paid the welcome to Walmart money right now. But anyway, you know, I was reminiscing about banjos and how much I miss my banjos the other day. And I came across some old paperwork of some stories that we did. And I wanted to do abbreviated versions of three of them. You know, there's a good chance that some of our listeners haven't heard any of them, but I thought these were three of the dumbest of the dumb, and and wanted you to weigh in and see if we could vote on a dumbest of all time dumb. So I wanted to stick to the same category. So these are all robberies, and three quick stories on robberies. The first is the story of a guy by the name of Klaus Schmidt. Schmidt was from Berlin, and he decided to rob a bank with a handgun. And the robbery played out pretty standard until the tellers asked Schmidt whether he needed a bag, to which he responded, "You're damn right, it's a real gun." This made it obvious to the tellers that Schmidt was deaf. With this new realization, the tellers triggered the non-silent alarm, which notified the police, with Schmidt oblivious to what was taking place. He took one full step outside of the bank before being apprehended by the German police. I don't give him dumbest of all time only because in the end, he got angry about the teller's tricks and he sued the bank for violation of some obscure law mandating the use of sign language when communicating with a deaf customer in a financial institution. So this guy had rights as a bank robber that they needed to communicate with him in sign language that they were triggering the alarm.
He had a good house lawyer. Yeah. dug that up for package reviews or something. Yeah. Great.
He actually went away for a while, but was able to get his release or his sentence commuted after his lawsuit. So I think we have to give Klaus a nod on that one. But Ruben Zarate, I love Ruben Zarate. This 18-year-old attempted to rob a muffler shop in Chicago. After demanding money, he was told that most of the cash was stored in a safe that could only be opened by the store manager, and that the manager wasn't scheduled to come in until a few hours later that day. So to save himself some trouble, Zarate left his cell phone number with the mechanic and asked him to give him a call when the store manager arrived.
It's the best.
The mechanic did exactly as Zarate requested, and he called him after the manager arrived. But that call came after his first call, which went out to the police. So when Zarate came back and noticed the police were waiting for him, he engaged actually in a brief shootout with the cops, didn't get shot, but eventually he was arrested. So yeah, the
genius,
leaving your phone, your phone number. Albert Bailey's right up there. So a man named Albert Bailey and an unnamed juvenile accomplice decided to rob a bank in Fairfield, Connecticut, an area I know pretty well. Knowing the timeline would be tight, Bailey attempted to speed up the process by calling the bank in advance to let them know that they would be coming to rob it.
That's funny.
So his plan to give the bank advance notice to get their money ready ahead of his arrival may not have been thoroughly thought out. When Bailey and his young accomplice arrived at the bank, the police were waiting there to arrest him. So I think we give Klaus a pass because of his lawsuit, but between Ruben,
I say Zarate and then Bailey, right? I mean, because it could have been a prank call to the bank. They didn't know, but the other idiot actually left his cell phone number, said, "Call me when the manager gets back."
And, I mean, he's got to be the dumbest dumb criminal of all time. So at 18, well, he's no longer 18. That's two. So he's now 20-year-old Ruben Zarate, probably out of jail by now, and not likely to be robbing muffler shops in Chicago, at least not leaving his phone number with mechanics if he's planning on it.
So, I don't know if he's out of jail. In Louisiana, you get up to 99 years for armed robbery. So I think the minimum is like 40. But
well, you know, up there in Chicago, they get out in one day.
Yeah, but he shot at the cops too, so that's going to be another charge. But
oh, that's true. That's true.
Let's go to Ohio. And we've been seeing more and more of these cases. I read one yesterday, but an Ohio woman named Amanda Hovenick was sentenced to 40 years in prison for injecting her husband with a poison that killed him within minutes. She injected him during a child custody exchange back in 2022. Now, the sentence was handed down to the 37-year-old after she pled guilty to multiple charges, including distributing a controlled substance that resulted in the death of her husband, Timothy, with whom she shared three children. Now, this is all according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Ohio. Authorities said Hovenick committed the crime on April 24, 2022, after Timothy arrived to drop off their three daughters at her Wapakoneta, Ohio home. Now, the attack was captured on dash cam video obtained from Timothy's abandoned car found in Dayton, Ohio, after he was reported missing. And then the footage, she and her mother, Anita Green, are seen waiting outside the home near the garage. Hovenick is seen then walking towards Timothy's car and telling the couple's children, "I have a surprise for you inside," before the children enter the home with Green. Seconds later, Timothy can be heard saying, "What the heck are you doing? Did you just assault me?" And then, "Get away from me. Get off of me." The footage also showed her pulling on her husband's shirt as he tried to use his cell phone, eventually knocking it out of his hand. She then pulled on his back to bring him to the ground, holding him around the neck until his body went limp and he became unresponsive, lying on the driveway. She then stood up, picked up her husband's cell phone, and removed his smartwatch and turned off his vehicle's engine, at which point the dash camera stopped recording. According to the U.S. attorney, she admitted to injecting her husband, who was a U.S. Department of State worker, with M99 or etrophrine, a controlled substance that is about 1,000 times more potent than morphine and is typically used by vets, like a horse tranquilizer. She also said she disposed of Timothy's car and buried his body in a wooded area near her home. I guess she wanted to visit it. Authorities said the killing stemmed from a custody dispute of the couple's children that had begun years prior. And she filed for divorce against her husband in 2020 when she returned to the U.S. after living in South Africa for 2 years for her husband's job. And while there, authorities said Hovenick had a relationship with Anthony Theodoro, a South African citizen. And in December of 2021, she began to deny her husband visitation with the children, despite a court order that says she had to do it. After her husband filed several contempt motions against her for denying visitation, a judge ordered that the children be given visitation with the father in April 2022. And the judge said that Timothy became the residential parent and legal custodian of the children for 2 months that summer, beginning in May. Now, that agreement had yet to start at the time of his killing. The U.S. Attorney's Office claims Hovenick considered killing her husband for at least a year before the eventual murder, and that she considered hiring a hitman before settling on injecting him with the M99. And she's believed that she got the M99 through Thurdo, who was in Ohio at the time of the murder, and helped bury her husband's body. And her mama, Miss Green, who both Hovenick and Thurdo confirmed knew about the plan to murder Timothy in advance, was also charged with accessory after the fact. And authorities said she agreed to drive them and Timothy's body to the grave site, which was dug in advance of the killing. And nothing says premeditation like digging a grave ahead of time. Yeah. But in addition to her 40-year sentence, Hovedick was ordered to serve 10 years of supervised release and pay more than $2 million in restitution. And Green was sentenced, the mama was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 2 years of supervised release after pleading guilty to being an accessory. And Theodore is expected to be sentenced soon. So crazy, right?
Oh my God. What, question. I don't think I've ever seen one or noticed one. How big is a dash cam, or how small can a dash cam be?
They're pretty small. I mean, they're not big. Think about like the GoPros, how they used to be square like that. They're smaller than that, but they have different ones, different versions, like tube shaped ones and all that. A lot of people have them now. So I tell you what, insurance company
chances.
Good. Insurance companies will actually pay you to install them and stuff to make sure you're safe driving and shit like that.
Okay, so what are the chances? Well, I guess it's probably already sent the video to the cloud, right? So I'm thinking, did they discover the dash cam or not?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they saw it. I mean, it's not like they're going to think, or maybe they find out that he's paying somewhere to the cloud or paid for a dash cam. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, but you would think if they figured out on the way to bury the guy that everything that she did was on the dash cam, they would have come up with some other scam to try and get rid of that video or you know, some other plan, because they were completely effed the moment that. But I mean, they're three knuckleheads doing this thing anyway. You got three kids with the guy and you're going to murder the guy.
Yep.
And mama's in on it.
Yeah, we had a case in Alexandria. The girl, I think his last name was Giles. She went for an exchange with the kids at the Walmart public parking lot on a Sunday afternoon and shot her husband to death in the car in front of the kids. And then she got out. Listen to this shit. She got out. She's waiting for a trial. She got on bond and she opened a fucking daiquiri shop. She wasn't supposed to be within a casino or whatever. She fucking opened a daiquiri shop and got rearrested.
Oh my God. That's hysterical.
She's doing life now. So
she should have sold like themed daiquiris, like, you know, jailbreak daiquiri flavor and stuff like that. Mm. Wow.
Hey y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians, and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it. And it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
Okay, well, I've got breaking real life news affecting a member of the show here, namely me. So this weekend we're moving into our new house in Jupiter, Florida. Okay, so we've been down here in short term rentals, waiting to get the house and get everything done so we could move in. So. When we left New Orleans, we had our stuff stored in a facility up in Jackson, Mississippi, because one, it was a ton cheaper than storing it in New Orleans, but also because that's where Miss Jerry's family is, and it's much more likely we're going to be up there than in New Orleans, so it'd be easy to get at the stuff. So on Tuesday, Miss Jerry flew back to Jackson to meet up with movers at the storage facility to identify the stuff that that's going to come down to Florida, because the house in Florida is like half the size of that house we had in New Orleans, right? So we can't fit all of our stuff in. So on Monday, she mentions to me that she's having trouble finding a rent-a-car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean you're having trouble finding a rent-a-car? And she's like, look, I've gone to a bunch of these companies and nobody has a car for me. So sure enough, I go check, and National, which is always my choice because you get to just pick your car and never go to a counter or anything like right. that. National's got no cars. Avis has no cars. Dollar has no cars. Thrifty has no cars. Nothing. Mm-hmm. What the hell is going on? I haven't used Hertz for a rent-a-car since OJ turned his wife into a Pez dispenser. That was my strike against OJ, right? No more Hertz in my life. But reluctantly, I go onto the Hertz site and I'm actually able to rent a car and get a confirmation. Mm-hmm. So of course I act like, you know, I can't believe you couldn't figure this out, honey. Yeah. And I send her the confirmation thinking I'm a hero for doing it. Well, when she lands in Jackson and goes to the Hertz counter, they have no more cars.
Mm-hmm.
She says, wait a minute, I have a confirmation number right here. And they let her know that the confirmation is a confirmation that, quote, if they have cars, she will get one.
Right.
I've never heard of such a thing, but that's the bullshit story they give her. So her head is exploding because she's got to have a car to be able to accomplish everything that she's got to get done there. So she's standing there at the Hertz counter, pissed off about what's going on. And she overhears two of the Hertz agents speaking about the reason why they have no cars. You know why they have no cars at Hertz this weekend in Jackson, Mississippi?
I can only imagine.
Well, who's visiting New Orleans this weekend as part of her worldwide tour? Who dates a certain Kansas City Chiefs football player?
Has to be Taylor Swift, man. Yeah.
So Taylor Swift playing the Superdome, I guess she's playing the Superdome, where else would she be playing, has sucked up like all the rent-a-cars in that region of the country because it's Taylor Swift and she's playing New Orleans, and people are coming, Swifties are coming from all over the place to come see her and need rent-a-cars. So, you know, I had disdain for her prior to this selfish act of sucking up all the rent-a-cars, but now it's over the top.
That's crazy.
My wife was able to secure a red Mitsubishi something or other I'd never heard of. It's like, it's a car the size of a go-kart that goes about 45 top end from some place in Flowood, Mississippi, that for like three times the normal price. I get this bill for like $800 for 3 days in a Mitsubishi, whatever the hell it is. Thank you very much, Taylor Swift.
Hey, what's wrong with Swifty fans? They don't have their own cars. I mean, you're talking about Jackson, Mississippi. That's you know, almost 2 hours, right? From New Orleans.
It's hour. Two and a half.
It's a bit. It's a minute. And Flowood, where she got it, I used to do Lee Michaels security on the jewelry store up there. Yeah, that's north of Jackson. And the,
they had no cars in, what's it? Madison, where her brother lives, which is a half hour north of Jackson. And so I wonder if Houston, if they got cars from Houston too. I mean, that's crazy.
Maybe it's the thing that Swifty fans don't use their own cars and they trash them out in the name of Taylor Swift or something. Every turn, like, you ever see, what was that, Jackass, where he took the damage insurance on the car? He went and trashed it and crashed up Derby and everything else. They brought it back in. It was like, man, I took the insurance out. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get the whole Taylor Swift thing. And I've never heard a song that she plays or wrote or whatever the fuck you call it. So,
And she's only got about 40 of them that are number ones. They all sound the same to me. But, you know, she's also got a fan base of, you know, teens and early 20s, and she's now in her late 30s. So, you know, more power to her for being able to keep the fans that young when she's gotten that old. But
I guess she's the Michael Jackson of like our generation, because he went around the world. She's going around the world and all that shit. So I don't know. Yep. I don't know. Maybe she'll hang a kid out a window. But let's go to San Diego, where I was recently, in Comic-Con. You know about that? When people dress up, it's a big fucking big deal.
Huge.
And so let's make it, it's like the equivalent of the Super Bowl or the World Series or any major, like, college national championship. Let's tell you what happened. Anytime
and it attracts wackos. I mean, they're all in costume for the entire show. I mean, it's nuts. But
it also attracts the world's oldest profession. And anytime you have a major event like this, they come in, and a whole bunch of people got in trouble. So over a dozen suspects were arrested, and 10 potential victims were rescued after California authorities executed a human trafficking sting operation at the San Diego Comic-Con event. The San Diego Human Trafficking Task Force carried out the operation, which was aimed at recovering victims of sex trafficking and targeting sex buyers, using the San Diego Comic-Con convention to seek out potential victims. Authorities arrested 14 people and recovered those 10 potential victims. Of the 10 rescued, 9 are adults and 1 is 16. Child welfare services and related agencies were on site to provide resources. And the Attorney General, Rob Bonta, said in a news release that the sex traffickers tend to capitalize on large-scale events such as Comic-Con to exploit the victims for profit. And that's true. About 100,000 fans travel to San Diego for the comic book
wow.
pop culture event each year. I probably think it's more than that. And they, Bonta also said these arrests send a clear message to potential offenders that their criminal behavior will not be tolerated. We are grateful to all our dedicated partners involved in the San Diego Human Trafficking Task Force, whose collaboration has been invaluable. We take great pride in our office's commitment to uplifting vulnerable Californians by offering them assistance and guidance when they need it most. Now, throughout the sting operation, law enforcement agents went undercover as sex buyers to find possible victims and their traffickers. And undercover ads soliciting sex were also posted to target sex buyers. So
undercover ads.
They do the, that's just like the back page and all that shit where the each city has it for the escort. So they would put in their own fake ads acting like this person is willing to sell sex and they're making a great, an agreement and they go get them or they, you know, do in calls, out calls, stuff like that. They can, you know, go to your hotel and get you, or you can go to their hotel and what have you. So it's good that they got those, trafficking victims out. And that's what they did. They shipped them from city to city. They'll be at where at Taylor Swift's concert this weekend.
Probably true. But I imagine that San Diego is probably the hotbed for this being so close to the border.
Yeah.
And being a big convention city. I mean, they get a lot of convention business
because of military bases. Yeah. So they use them too. But I guess everybody does. It's a world old profession.
Yeah, which more in vogue than it's probably ever been. So, Woody, have you been, there's like three or four of them that are out there watching any of these Menendez brothers special documentaries on any of the streaming channels?
I would be ashamed to admit that I actually watched one because I lived this, right? They were, you know, about my age, and I remember when it happened. And the whole nine yards, and it has to be one of the worst fucking documentaries. It's not even documentaries where they acted like the brothers and all that, and went through the whole thing and shit, and the trial and whatever, and the retrial and all that. And this two of the biggest pieces of shit in the world. I know that you did something with them, but man, they really butchered their parents. Yeah,
They did. The latest one is called Monsters. That's out on Netflix, and it's over the top.
Yeah,
it's almost a comedy.
Yeah, like super ripped and buff, and they're gay with each other and all this shit, and they're just fucking stupid.
I don't know if they were going for that, if they were trying to make this like a dramedy. I don't know the producers, so I don't know what their angle was, but they certainly sensationalized everything that happened. But the same time that's released, you know, we have activity going on with this case, and this case has evolved a ton over the years. And so the LA district attorney publicly released a letter that he cited as, quote, new evidence in the infamous Eric and Lyle Menendez case. L.A. District Attorney George Gascon is considering whether to review the brothers' life sentences for murdering their parents. Now, why is he doing this? Here's why he's doing this. So on Sunday, Gascon posted, but then he later deleted, a screenshot of the letter Eric Menendez had written to his cousin more than three decades ago. In that letter, Eric alleges that he'd been abused by his father. I've been trying to avoid Dad. It's still happening, Andy. Andy is his cousin. But it's worse for me now. I never know when it's going to happen, and it's driving me crazy. Every night I stay up thinking, he might come in. The brothers' legal team have long argued the letter, which was first filed last year in LA Superior Court as part of a petition to have their case reviewed, backs up Eric's claims that he was sexually abused by his father as a kid. The DA, the DA's office, decided to delete the post on Tuesday, but provided no explanation as to why they deleted it. At the same time, we learned that, quote, relatives of the Menendez brothers had been invited to attend a press conference that was scheduled for late yesterday. Now, I haven't heard or seen any news coming out of that press conference. I'm not sure if it took place or not. We'll update you when we get some information on that. But as you said, I got involved in this story, and I specifically got involved in this story because of this angle of the story. So a writer, investigative journalist in LA, who at the time of the murders was at the LA Times and wrote, you know, more extensively on this than any other journalist in the country. His name is Robert Rand.
Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band from $59.90, and it's heavy duty. It's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Robert and I partnered, gosh, I'm going to say 8 years ago. He was in the middle of writing his book, which he later released, and it did very, very well. But what was unique about the angle Robert had on this story is Robert had followed the career of the father. What the heck is the father's name? Just forget the father's name. Jose. Because yeah. Jose became a record label executive at RCA. Mm-hmm. And RCA under Jose did a partnership with a Puerto Rican act called Menudo, which was a sensation back in the day.
The world. I've been using my Rosetta Stone. Menudo means the world.
Yeah. Yes. So RCA, together with Jose, brought Menudo to the U.S. to tour. Rand, when I got together with him, had evidence that Jose Menendez had been abusing certain members of the band. And if you remember, there's a very famous person who was a member of the band who later had a very large solo career.
Yeah.
That particular individual is somebody that that Rand met with and openly discussed the fact that he was abused by Jose Menendez. And so Rand knew there was a problem with the parents, specifically with Jose. He then chased it to the family on the East Coast, because the family originally was from the Miami area. They're Cubans who immigrated to the U.S., and most of the family was in the Miami area, and Jose's sister is in the Miami area. His sister is the mother of Andy, who this correspondence from Eric was to. And when they say relatives are coming to attend this press conference yesterday, I'm certain that they're referring to at least her, probably some others. But I can tell you that the rest of the family, at least the sister and her son, are very convinced of the abuse, and that letter that materialized after the second trial. Remember, there was a mistrial in the declared in the first trial. And then the judge would not allow any evidence into the second trial, any evidence connected to abuse into the second trial. And the second trial occurred after both the Rodney King and OJ trials had occurred. And Tarsetti, who was then the DA in Los Angeles, made it very clear that that they weren't going to lose. The DA wasn't going to lose another case there. Bring all of this up because I am convinced from evidence that I have seen and conversations I had with Rand at the time that these guys were abused. Now, that doesn't mean they aren't murderers and didn't commit absolutely brutal murders of both of their parents, ostensibly one for abusing them and the second for letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume all of that is true. Does that, in your opinion, does that change the verdict here? Like if
there's
everybody knew and it was accepted in court that they had been abused.
I totally believe they were abused. I get it. Kids are abused every fucking day and don't do what they did and cover it up the way they did and go on the spending sprees and buy all the shit that they did and do all the cocaine that they did and you know, wrote scripts about it years before and all that shit. So fuck that. The only reason we're still talking about them is because they were rich kids and they had money for a good defense. And that made it sensationalized. You know, I absolutely believe they're abused. I don't think they were lying about that. Not in no way. Blow your parents to pieces and you have to go outside and get more rounds to come back in and shoot your mama again while she's, you know, on the floor like that. Fuck that. You got to answer for that. I mean, if you abuse, even if you're afraid of him, go in and, you know, it'll be what it's going to be. The no excuse for that kind of bullshit. I mean, if they had done it and then said, hey, we did it because, and went in and said, you know, hey, we call it. So we just killed our parents because they've been abusing us and we were afraid he's mafia, whatever the fuck the reason may be. They would have got time no matter what. Would they have got life? I don't know. But who would have believed them after they fucking lied and lied. Not saying I totally believe they were abused. I'm not saying that's not an excuse to do what they did to their parents.
I'm with you. But was justice served, or do you think if all of that was understood?
I think
up front, even though they denied it and, you know, nothing else changes,
would they have gotten
life without the chance of parole? I mean, remember they were up for, cause California at the time still had the death penalty.
Yep. If it would change anything, it wouldn't have changed about much. They might've had a chance of parole. You're still going to do time, you know, all that. It's just too much. Went into it. You could have made one fucking phone call instead of spending a year planning on killing them. And then, like, you know, just some of the shit's over the top, like going into RCA afterwards and, you know, the mafia did it. And, you know, my daddy's in the mafia, but we need protection and we need a limousine. By the way, no, we want two limousines, right? And we want to stay at the, you know, most expensive hotel and all that shit. And they're paying, fuck that, fuck them. They did it and they did it for, I believe they did it because they hated the motherfucker, but the mom, who knows? But they also did it because they knew they were getting money.
Yep. They've been model citizens in prison. They've been helping out a lot of others. Does that matter at all?
Yeah, what the fuck else are they going to do? they're not going to find a menudo in there, and they can't have an RCA deal if they still even exist. But I wonder, does he still have his hairpiece?
I know. Is that the way they do that in the Monsters series is hysterical. Horrible.
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, if you have a hairpiece and you get murdered, like they, let's say, what's his dad's name?
Jose.
Jose had a hairpiece and you get blown to pieces, and you need to look good for your final resting day. You can call our friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen at Louisiana Funeral Services, or LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. And they can hook you up. They'll have you looking your best, right?
Wow. I don't know. Folks, that was a completely improvised message for LA Funeral Services by Woody Overton there, and very, very quick on his feet today.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, how easy, but you know what? I'm also thinking that might've been the real motive. If you knew that it was hereditary and it was Jose's fault that you were bald at 17, that might have been a stronger reason to kill him than the abuse. I mean, I doubt it, but But that would have been up there as a might second consideration.
Steroids. So. Yeah. they got him balled at 17. But the
well, remember, folks, magic happens underneath that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, where LA Funeral Services and LA Pet Crematory are. Their outstanding team can handle death by anything, including bad hair pieces. And just when you go, let them know that Woody sent you.
Yeah. Underneath that giant or humongous American flag and Broussard, and the term is rest easy.
Easy. And right. Remember, LAFuneralServices.com and LA Pet Crematory.
I love those people. I talk about them on every show that I do. They really are legit. So, all right. Well, let me tell you something. You would think I don't know anything about anything. And most of these stories I would never cover, but I'm going to do some, the gossip, Woody Does Gossip section.
Woody Does Gossip. And nice. Guess what? We didn't have one last week.
Woody knows a little something about these two. And it's Nicole Kidman and Salma Hayek exchanged words and nearly came to blows as the two one-time number 10s put hands on each other at the, now I don't know how to say this word, show in France.
Balenciaga.
They were attending the event as part of Paris Fashion Week, and things got a little bit tense when they stopped to take pictures for the paparazzi. In a widely distributed clip on social media, we see Nicole agitated and face to face with Salma, saying something to her. And then this Salma then places a hand on Kidman's arm, pushing her back. Now, in that fight, I think Salma's going to whoop her ass, but let's see. Nicole pushes Salma's hand away and turns her back in on her and greets Katy Perry, who's behind her with a kiss. I kissed a girl and I like it. I bet you didn't even think I knew that, huh? But wow. Katy Perry song? I'm on fire today. So a paparazzi asked Nicole and Salma to stand together for a picture, but Nicole makes a few more pointed comments towards Hayek, and while gesturing with her hands before she walks away, Salma looks flustered and for some reason says, "Yes, please," to Nicole, and then poses for the camera with Katy Perry instead. As she does, Kidman leaves in a hush. Frankly, it's hard to tell what's really going on here, but wouldn't it be great if these two actually threw down in the middle of a Paris fashion
event? Oh, that would be awesome.
Who would you take? I got Salma all day long.
See, I've had a major crush on Nicole Kidman since.
Me too. Those are two that I've actually had a crush on. And
Salma Hayek is a different look. Not my look, but Nicole Kidman was in a movie. I mean, she maybe was
Eyes Wide
21
Shut.
Or 22. Yeah. No, before.
Oh, the Sailboat movie. The Sailboat
Dead,
movie. Yeah.
Dead Calm.
I believe. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
She was gorgeous.
She is definitely a beautiful, beautiful lady. And Salma, what was the one with George Clooney? And it was directed by Tarantino. Up with the vampires, and she comes out on the stage as a dancer when they're in Mexico. They're escaping to make the they did a second or a third one too. Anyway, we go down to Mexico and they're in this bar, and all of a sudden they close all the door on the bars, and all the fine women, and Salma was the one that came out as the featured stripper on the stage, and then they ate everybody in the bar, and then George Clooney and them followed them all night long. And all that stuff. Damn it. Dust to Dawn.
I didn't know George Clooney still acted. Or maybe that was...
That was like 100 years ago. When that was on VHS. Yeah.
Okay. Now he sells tequila and does politics. Well, in a fight, I still got to take Kidman. Bigger, taller, more athletic. Salma Hayek's a little woman. She's not very...
She got a little of the street in her, I think, you know, I mean, I think Jennifer Lopez, both of them, Jenny from the Block.
Yeah. I'm hearing some bad rumors there about the, maybe on the next, Woody Does Gossip, you'll fill in the blanks on some of this P. Diddy and J. Lo gossip.
I heard the you know what, motherfuckers can't get enough of that that P. Diddy thing. So I guess it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving for people who are covering or whatever, because I mean, there's the more and more famous people come out. And that's always said, nothing sells like sex and drugs and murder, and throw in your famous, look at the Menendez brothers, right?
It's Jeffrey Epstein too here with Diddy. It's just a different kind of elitist that, that have been around his parties. So we'll see what names emerge as this thing gets deeper. But that was a good gossip there, Woody.
Yeah. And there's some about those two. I was reading it yesterday. I was like, yes. So the
on top of his gossip game, folks. Well, I've got a story that is out of the Georgetown University women's basketball team, and this thing blew me away. So in this week's sign of the impending apocalypse, the Georgetown Hoyas official X, meaning former Twitter account, posted a tribute to ex women's basketball player Sydney Wilson. The post mentions mourning her tragic loss last month. And if you look at the post, which is still up, they've not taken this down, it just says, Georgetown women's basketball mourns the tragic loss of Sydney Wilson, class of 2013, forever a Hoya. And then there's a picture of her from her basketball days there, and a little logo from Georgetown. But the post has drawn some criticism. Why, you might ask? Well, because the newly released police body cam footage shows Sydney Wilson attacking a police officer, ignoring his warnings, slashing him in the face before he finally shoots and kills her. The tribute post continues to be up on Georgetown women's basketball team's X page. Wilson, who played for Georgetown from 2009 to 2013, died in September in this police shooting, and the video of the fatal altercation was just released the other day. And so people are now seeing this. So now that it's clear what led to her death, lots of folks online are calling for Georgetown Women's Hoops to take down this post. And there's a community note saying, quote, Sydney Wilson was fatally shot after attempting to stab a police officer in Fairfax County, Virginia. That's the thing that now happens on Twitter, where people post these community notes. The body cam footage shows Fairfax County police officer Peter Liu conducting what cops say was a welfare check on Wilson. The cop knocks on her apartment door, and Wilson opens the door and then slams it closed as soon as she sees that it's a cop. The officer knocks again and tells Wilson, quote, that she's not in trouble. And when she finally opens the door, she's got a knife in her right hand, and she raises it and lunges toward him and slashes him in the face. He's stunned and he stumbles backward, and he gives her several verbal warnings in the hallway to stand down. Mm-hmm. And she keeps coming towards him, and to the point where the guy's got no choice, and he shoots her and he kills her.
Yep. I saw the a still photo of her coming out of the door with a knife. And
I mean, she just looks crazy.
Yeah. There's a 21-foot rule people don't know about as a cop, because you can't run backwards as fast as somebody can run forward at you and stuff like that. But if they violate within 21 feet and you feel like your life is threatened, you have the right to defend yourself. And that dude should have never got slashed in the face. They teach you that one of the last things on the course or on the shooting course is you stand at the 2-yard line and draw from the hip and fire from the hip. 6 shots, you fire 2 and reholster, and then turn the targets again. You take a half step back, draw your pistol like fucking old West style, right? And boom, 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 boom. I hate it that he got slashed in the face. She can go fuck herself. I mean, I'm sorry, but you stab a cop, and that's on you. And then they're praising her or whatever. I mean, maybe she had mental issues. I don't know. Maybe that's why they were going to, I hate that for her if that's the case, but she got killed. And if Woody Overton had been there, she got killed. KILT also.
Yeah. Shocking. I mean, in the old days of John Thompson as head coach at Georgetown men's basketball, if somebody on the team did something like that, there would never, ever have been a post put out like that. I mean, it's just
maybe they didn't know, or they didn't see it or whatever. And they're thinking this is the same sweet girl or what have you. And then, he had to know she was fucking shot to death by the police. So the reason I don't know, bro. So y'all, let's go to Florida. Everybody knows about the hurricanes, and I'm gonna tell you about Florida Highway Patrol superheroes, right? But they rescued a dog abandoned by its owners hours before Hurricane Milton made landfall last Wednesday. Now, Florida Highway Patrol, Tampa, posted a video on X Wednesday around 11:23 a.m. stating that the agency found a dog tied to a pole on Interstate 75. Do not do this to your pets, please, the Highway Patrol captioned the post. In the video, an officer walked toward a dog who was tied to a fence and standing in a deep puddle that reached the animal's stomach. As the officer approached, the dog backed away and growled. "It's okay, bud. It's okay. It's okay," the officer said. The visibly stressed dog began barking as the officer said, "I don't blame you. It's okay, buddy. It's okay." The officer was able to rescue the dog, and minutes later, the dog was in the back seat of his cruiser atop a bunch of blankets in a much better mood. The dog rescued by at FHPT Tampa is safe and receiving care. Troopers brought him to a vet where he was examined for injuries and received a clean bill of health. And the Florida governor and Mike's hero, Ron DeSantis, shared the post of the dog with his own message. "Thank you at FHPT. It's cruel for anyone to leave a dog tied to a post in the middle of an oncoming storm. Florida will hold anyone who mistreats pets accountable." And pet owners facing hurricanes should not forget to bring their animals with them when they're evacuating. And no shit, I understand that the charges have been filed against them. Let me tell you about this Katrina and Rita and all these storms I worked. We actually had shelters set up like in the Animal Coliseum and LSU and stuff like that for pets that are evacuated. And look, people, you know, when it comes down and the shit hits the fucking fan and you got to get out because the water's rising, who are you going to take, your kids or your dog, right? And people left them. And there were so many dead. I mean, just think, almost everybody has a pet, it seems like. And it's just, you know, if 3,000 people died in Katrina, I can imagine 300,000 pets died at least. But this fucker shouldn't have tied him to a post. I mean, come on, man. What are you doing? I mean, you brought him
And he obviously made it to the interstate.
That's awesome. He made it.
Tied the dog to a post on Interstate 75. So
maybe somebody just saw the dog running around and tied the dog up in case an owner came by or something like that, trying to save and keep him from whatever. Who knows? But don't do it. That's the motto. And hopefully with the storms, the prayers for all these people still affected.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the worst thing is still North Carolina. A bunch of people still don't have power. A bunch of people still missing. Just incredible what's gone on up there. But I have to tell you, watching DeSantis operate down here,
it was good.
I mean, oh my God, is this guy good? I mean, he's so buttoned up. Their plans are just, they know what's coming. They place the linemen there ahead of time. Okay. They get the power back really fast. Yeah. I mean, he's doing a press conference talking about this guy and this dog and that they're, look, they don't mess around. I mean, I'm driving 10 miles per hour slower on every highway because there are cops everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see them.
Yeah, I'll be with a bunch of those guys, my friends, next week for Polygraph Conference. And most most of the people at the conference are going to be cops, and a bunch of their FHP guys are coming. So it'd be good to see them. But yeah, they don't fuck around in Florida. And
no, they don't.
As Pinellas County, right? Who took the brunt of the storm.
Yeah, Pinellas really got walloped. But yeah. But Milton could have been a lot worse than it was. I mean, the warnings ahead of Milton built it up to be a lot worse than it was. Yeah, Helene is actually much more damaging in Florida, as well as obviously outside of Florida. But hopefully there are a couple still stirring around. But, you know, cross your fingers. We're here,
like 45 here this morning. I mean, it could still happen, but it ain't going to happen. They may go down south where you are, but they're not going to make it up here because of the cold fronts. They'll shear them off. Kill them.
Yep.
Kill them.
Well,
fuck a hurricane.
Hurricane season over, football season on. And good luck this weekend with your teams. Yep. And we will be back at you guys on Monday with a Nittany Lying episode.
Yep. And we love every one of y'all. Peace.
Aglets. Good weekend, Wood.
You too.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.